Okay, turn in your Bibles. And I only have 12 points on this, and it's Wednesday night before Thursday. Not really. I don't have that many. One, two, three. No, there's something really interesting in here. And so what we're going to do is, as opposed to elaborating on each point, what we're going to do is a study tonight on this topic, for Christ's sake. Can you think of any place in the Bible where you have read that expression, for Christ's sake or for the Lord's sake? Okay? Show us. That's what I'm seeing on every face. You've already looked them up. Show us. Okay, that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to look at some things tonight that we do simply for Christ's sake. Before we do, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll jump right into the study. Jeremy, pray for us.
Hi, Father, just thank you for allowing us to meet here tonight, Lord. Just ask and pray that the pastor shows us what he needs to show us, that we would have attuned ears, Lord, and we would take it to heart and be something that we would learn to deliver. So, pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll do it like a study, so we won't dwell on each point. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The verse we want is verse 11. And what we'll do is we'll pick up just a few verses in front of it so you know where you are. We'll start with verse 8, but verse 11 contains what we're looking for. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death, for Jesus' sake. You see it? For Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. All right, you and I are in this mortal flesh. We haven't died yet. But Jesus Christ lives inside of us. We sing that song sometimes. Christ liveth in me. All right, but it won't be evident that Jesus Christ lives inside of us unless we bear in our body the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then His life will be manifested in us. Okay? So the first thing we do simply for Christ's sake is for the sake of His, watch, supernatural life, we are delivered unto death for Him. Okay, have you ever seen those Russian dolls? Right? You know what I'm talking about? So there's a big one and then a smaller one, smaller one, smaller one. You can't see the ones inside for the ones on the outside. But you open them up and then you see the ones inside. Likewise, what God wants to do is something in our bodies that manifests the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, in that text that we preached the other day about knowing Christ, that I may know Him, and the fellowship of His sufferings, and the power of His resurrection, being made conformable unto His death. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. The thing is, it's so rare to see death in the mortal life of a Christian these days that we have all of us a hard time sort of envisioning what this looks like to be delivered unto death for the sake of the manifestation of the life of Christ. It wasn't hard to see in Paul's life. If you read Paul's testimony, the guy, everywhere you go, he's getting, you know, pummeled. But it demonstrated the power and the supernatural life of Christ. That's the first thing done for Christ's sake. Here's another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. We know this is the passage on the sufficiency of the grace of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul prays for deliverance from the thorn in his flesh, In verse 9, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul says in verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, watch it, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So the next time you get sick, think in terms of doing that for Christ's sake, taking pleasure in that for Christ's sake. Why? For the sake of the supernatural power of Christ, we are made weak for Him. Every one of us in our lives have been visited with something to make us weak. One of these five things: a reproach, a necessity, a persecution, an infirmity, a distress. And a lot of times we're like, oh God, deliver me from this. God, please help me through this. Please, I don't want to be sick. I don't want to be in this distress, right? Isn't that what we do? And sometimes the Lord says, whoa, 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 whoa. This time, rather than praying that you don't have to go through this, why don't you go through it and let my supernatural power strengthen you in your weakness, and let it be for my sake. For your sake, I'd heal you, but for my sake, I want you weak so my power, my supernatural power, will be inside of you. And you'll be better off for it. And that's why Paul said, I take pleasure in these things. Because he liked the power of Christ in his grace more than he did the strength that he had in his own flesh when he wasn't weak. All right, here's another one. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Very instructive. So this is something hopefully that we can take home and digest, because it's pretty potent, pretty spiritual. All right, for Christ's sake. All right, the verse we want in Philippians chapter 1 is verse 29. But again, we have to read a little bit into the context in here. Let's read verse 28. Well, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also, watch it, to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. All right, so the next thing is for the sake of His supernatural testimony, for the sake of Christ's supernatural testimony, we suffer for Him. All right, Christ has a supernatural testimony. He saved us. We are no longer of this world. We are children of God. We are on our way to heaven, having our conversation as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The world doesn't like that. The world doesn't like that at all. The Lord said, they hated me, so they're going to hate you. Well, your testimony is, but I'm a Christian. That's what I am. And if you don't like that, I'm bearing this testimony for the sake of the one who saved me. Normally we say, oh, I don't want to say anything about Christ right now because I know they don't want to hear it. Paul said, say it anyway. Not for your sake, for His sake. And if it causes you to suffer, do that for Him. Did He not suffer for us? Amen. Amen. All right, so for the sake of His supernatural life, we're delivered unto death. For the sake of His supernatural power, we're made weak. For the sake of His supernatural testimony, we suffer. For Him. Here's another one, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 5. Aren't y'all delighted, man? We're just sailing through these. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and look at verse 5. Again, this one now we can pick up right with the verse because it begins a sentence. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, Paul said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So he said, what we preach, we don't preach ourselves. We preach Christ Jesus. But when we do preach ourselves, we preach ourselves servants for Christ's sake. for Jesus' sake. All right, so for the sake of his supernatural ministry, we serve one another. You know, if Jeremy said, oh, I got to serve Brother Welder, I don't even like that guy. I mean, you know, he may be the pastor and all, but good night, you know. I sing with him and that's enough already. It's bad enough, right? So don't do it for my sake. Do it for his sake. If you can't do it for me, do it for him. We preach ourselves, what? Your servants for his sake. Because that's the supernatural ministry of Christ. See, we get a tendency in the ministry to look at each other. You've heard preachers get up here and say, you know, the ministry wouldn't be so bad if it weren't for people. All right? But truly, truly, because we are different, he says, you know, be of one mind, be of one spirit. He has to talk to us about those things. Don't strive, don't envy. He's got to talk to us about those things. But when it comes to service, do it for Christ's sake. Because it's a supernatural ministry. It's something that is beyond us. It has something to do with his body over which he is the head, and it has a lot more to do with him than it does with us. And he says to his disciples, when he was teaching them about all this in Matthew chapter 20, he said, you want to be great? Minister. You want to be chief? Minister. Be a servant. Because that's what I came to do. So do it for his sake. It's much easier that way. All right, here's another one. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Here's another one. Now, this isn't going to be too hard for some of us. We come by some of this stuff naturally. Let's pick it up in verse 9. We want verse 10. We want verse 10, but look at verse 9. For I think, Paul says, that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake. There you go. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted, have no certain dwelling place and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. You know what he said to do for his sake? Just be a fool. We are fools for Christ's sake. Now, like I said, some of us come by this fairly naturally. It's not hard for us to do. You know, it's kind of the way we wake up each day. But for others of us who are, it's a challenge. You know, we've got to. All right, but for the sake of his supernatural foolishness, we become fools. Listen, didn't in 1 Corinthians, we won't go back there and study all this, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, didn't God start talking about the foolishness of preaching and the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of men and all that stuff? Isn't it foolish that Jesus Christ is God and comes down here to be born as a babe and ends up in a manger, born as a, you know, into the family of a carpenter and has to put up with all that stuff? It is. But the foolishness of God is greater than and wiser than the wisdom of men. So you talk to people who are all so hepped up on all their scientific evidence about all their evolution, and they talk big words and they use all these things. He said, just be a fool. I mean, you're not going to win that argument with them anyway, so just be a fool. For Christ's sake. You wouldn't do it for your own sake. No, you're too careful with your own reputation, but for his sake. How did he say, answer a fool according to his folly? Right? Lest he be wise in his own conceit. You can allow it to happen for his sake, because he did it for your sake. And this, it's the foolishness of preaching that brought us to Christ. Here's another one. Romans chapter 15. Look at verse 30. Romans chapter 15. Look at verse 30. Paul is writing to the Romans, and his desire is to come see them. There's some question about it, and so he says in verse 30, Romans 15, verse 30, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, there it is again, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, to do what? That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So he's saying, I want you to strive together with me in prayers to God for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. You know, oftentimes when we're praying for these missionaries, we're praying as if we're praying for their sake. He needs a vehicle. He needs a building. He needs money to make his trip. He needs to get well. And we're praying as if it's man to man. He said, no, do that for my sake. Why? Because if God truly called a missionary to a field, then he needs to be able to fulfill the will of God. We have two missionaries that have advised us they're coming off the field. One of them, I think, has a reasonable explanation. I don't know if it's God's will, but it's a reasonable explanation. Another one doesn't have a reasonable explanation, but wants us to believe it is God's will. Do you not realize that some guys get over there on the field that we're praying for, and they get over there, and it's just shock. And then it's like, this isn't what I expected, and I'm spinning my wheels, and what am I doing here? You know what? For the sake of Christ's supernatural will, we strive together in prayer to him. When we get in here to pray, ultimately what we're doing for Christ's sake is praying that he will accomplish his will in the life of those missionaries that have gone to the field to do that work. And that's what Paul wanted here. And he said, in this thing you need to strive together with me. Why? Because it is an extension of the ministry of the local church, as you heard tonight, and as you already know to be true. For their deliverance, one of these, you read passages in the Bible about this kind of prayer. This one is for deliverance. There's another one for protection. There's another one for safety. There's another one for provision. Paul asked the Ephesians to pray for his boldness. There's a lot of stuff to cover there. And evidently it's important because it landed in Scripture for Christ's sake. Okay, here's another one. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. You say this thing has an end at some point. Yeah, we're getting closer, obviously. But I figure as long as we're on the subject, we ought to just cover these more like a study because they're very, very interesting. Here's another one. All right. Again, we can start this one right on the verse. 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance. Let me start again. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors or as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers or for the praise of them that do well. For the sake of his supernatural authority, we submit ourselves unto every ordinance of man. Okay. When people in government establish a law, Romans chapter 13 says, where'd that come from? Came from God, and the people that enforce it are ministers of God. Now they may not, you may not like them. And you know what? You look at that and you go, but I don't want to, whatever it may be. When the seatbelt law came in, a lot of Christians said, I don't put that thing on, bless God. I'm looking to God to protect me. I was one of those. And this verse says, submit yourself to the ordinance of man for his sake. For his sake. Why? Because it's his supernatural authority. You say, well, but they're violating the laws. Matt, this is the only one of these that I'm going to digress to one other verse. I want you to see something that I didn't see until just, I guess, day before yesterday. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I mean, I read it. I just didn't see it in the context of which we're talking now. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Are we to pray for those that are in authority? Yeah, we are. Look at this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Speaking of submitting yourself to the ordinance of men for the Lord's sake, look what he says. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, so it's a priority with Paul, supplications, prayers, and intercessions be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. I left something out when I read that. And I've always left it out when I've read it. Did you see what I left out? And giving of thanks. Look at it again. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for everybody but the politicians you don't like. For kings and for all that are in authority. For all that are in authority. Do you see that? So when you're under the rule of somebody because of an established authority that you don't like, you still give thanks. Why? For his sake. One of the great sins, I mentioned it the other day, of Christians is we have not honored these verses. And we listen to the way the world is treating people that are in positions of authority that they don't like, that we don't like, and mimic the same thing we hear them say. And that's not what God told us to do. He told us to give thanks for them and to submit to the ordinances for Christ's sake. And the reward to us is that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Well, that's really something. I didn't see that giving of thanks, not in that context. I did a couple days ago. Okay. Luke 9:24. For you guys in the Monday night Bible study, this is how you would do a study on Christ's sake. Okay? It is just a matter of taking the topic and running it out and putting it in order. Luke chapter 9, look at verse 23. We want 24 and 25. 24 is the verse we want, but watch this. Verse 23. Luke 9:23. He said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." That's not very easy to do. "And take up his cross daily." Most of us don't even know what that looks like. "And follow me." Okay, well, we do that. The cross simply is the cross of Christ that you've seen before. Paul said that cross is that I'm crucified to the world and by which the world is crucified to me, and that's the cross he's on so that the life of Christ may be manifest. Okay, "Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, follow me." Watch it. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life," watch it, "for my sake, the same shall save it." And then he gives you this comparison. What is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Well, he's not advantaged anything. Because he lived well here, but he dies and he winds up in hell. It's a tragic ending. So, listen, for the sake of his supernatural reward, we lose our lives for him. Do you know why all the apostles went and were either martyred or exiled like that without complaint? Because they knew there was something on the other side, a supernatural reward. And so they lost their lives and by so doing saved them. Did not Jesus Christ lose his life for our sake? And he established the pattern. He said, "Follow me." We lose our lives for his supernatural reward. So if the Lord said to you, "I want you to go to some place," and you say, "There are all cannibals over there, they may eat me." For his sake and the supernatural reward, you do it. You lose your life for his sake. All right, and then the last one that we're going to look at, Ephesians chapter 4, and this really isn't, this is about us, but indirectly. Ephesians chapter 4, the last one. Verse 32. Okay. "For the sake of his supernatural life, we're delivered to death. For his supernatural power, we're made weak. For his supernatural testimony, we suffer. For his supernatural ministry, we serve one another. For his supernatural foolishness, we become fools. For his supernatural will, we strive together in prayer. For his supernatural authority, we submit ourselves under every ordinance. For his supernatural reward, we lose our lives." And watch this. "For the sake of his supernatural salvation," God did something for his sake. Ephesians 4:32, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You know why he forgave you? For Christ's sake. He did that for Christ's sake because of something that Jesus Christ did for us. That is why we are kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. Because God did something for us for Christ's sake, therefore we can do it for others for Christ's sake. It's not easy sometimes to forgive people when they've crossed you. It hurts and it makes you bitter and it wasn't fair. But for Christ's sake, God forgave us. Therefore, we can forgive them. Isn't that wonderful? So remember that while we expect the Lord to be doing a lot of things for us, and we pray for a lot of things from Him, there are many things that we can do for Him simply for His sake. Amen. Amen. Father, we're thankful tonight to be able to look in the Scriptures and see something that's kind of right there plain for us that should really help us in the areas, Father, where it cost us something. In the areas in our lives where it cost us our reputation or cost us our health or where it cost us our comforts, Father. Help us to look beyond ourselves and the hardship that it may present to us. And help us look to your Son, Jesus Christ, and realize if this is for the sake of His life, His supernatural power, His authority, His ministry, His will, then for His sake, amen. So be it. For we ask you to help us to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.